Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 9, verses 35 through chapter 10, verse 8. Listen now to what the gospel writer is saying to the church. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Then Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to cure every disease and every sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles: first, Simon, also known as Peter, and his brother Andrew; James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John; Philip and Bartholomew; Thomas and Matthew the tax collector; James, son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus; Simon the Cananean; and Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions: "Do not take a road leading to Gentiles, and do not enter a Samaritan town, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, proclaim the good news: the kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those with a skin disease, cast out demons. You received without payment. Give without payment." These words, along with Romans, are by the power of the Holy Spirit, the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. When I arrived at White Memorial nearly 3 years ago in mid-July, staff and congregants alike kept apologizing to me about the fact that I was starting in the summer when nothing is going on. On my second day here, there was a service of witness to the resurrection. The next week, the high schoolers were heading to Montreat. And when I saw the attendance at Sunday worship, I thought, these people are crazy. There is more going on here during the summer than some churches have the whole year. Summertime in the church, at least chronologically, is a time of rest, a time of Sabbath. Folks are headed to the beach or on vacation. Sunday school and other major programming takes a break, and it seems that everyone gets to breathe a sigh of relief after the whirlwind of May-cember and the constant pace of the school and program year. For staff, we have a chance to catch up on projects that we had put off during the year. Just this week, someone told me that they were finally getting back around to updating something that we had talked about at the end of last summer. And yet, liturgically, we are not exactly in a restful period, or at least we aren't supposed to be. In this period of post-Pentecost, we are supposed to be going out into the world and spreading the good news. Jesus has given us the Great Commission: go therefore and make disciples of all nations. And the Spirit has empowered us to use our gifts to do so. In this text from Matthew today, the harvest imagery reminds us of the urgency of our task. There's no time to lose, for if we don't act fast, the harvest will rot on the vine. Summers here feel like what my track coach in high school called active recovery. In between hard sprints, we'd have periods of jogging to slow the heart rate and calm the breathing without stopping altogether. And yes, this was as terrible as it sounds. But active recovery seems like a good description of the summertime around here. Even after the frenetic pace of the program year, the life of the church goes on. The rhythm of Sunday worship is the steady drumbeat that keeps us moving forward. And summer trips like ASP help us live out our commission and put our faith into action. When Jesus sees the crowds, he is moved by compassion, literally esplagnisthe. to have one's guts moved, one's bowels to yearn, because they are harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Does that sound familiar? Who among us is living a completely unbothered life, at ease with how everything is going in our lives and in the lives of those we love? Who among us doesn't feel worry and concern about someone or something? Who among us doesn't feel harassed by the onslaught of news about what's going on in the world and yet helpless to do anything about it? From time immemorial, humanity has been plagued with worries and concerns, doubts and fears. We are certainly not the only ones who have feared for our safety as wars rage on around us, or as the reality of sin and evil make people do harm to one another. We're not the only ones who have felt helpless as we watch loved ones grow sick and die from cancer or other diseases. Who knows what exactly was going on with the crowds to make Jesus have compassion for them, but it certainly inspired him to act quickly on their behalf. So Jesus summons his 12 disciples and sends them out as apostles to the house of Israel. This is the only time that this term apostle is used in the Gospel of Matthew, meaning sent ones. And they're sent out to heal the sick and to cast out demons and even to raise the dead. Matthew even names the 12, five of whom were called by Jesus earlier in Matthew, seven who were unknown until now. And interesting to note is their descriptions. Matthew, a tax collector, a basic minion of Rome, is placed right alongside Simon the Canaanite, a zealot, a political enemy of Rome. And even Judas is there. These 12, yes, even Judas, are to be laborers for the harvest, an answer to prayer. Jesus empowers these apostles to do the work that he has been doing and to heal the sick and proclaim the good news. And while we don't have the power to miraculously cure the sick and raise the dead, if you do, please let me know. Our natural response, and indeed our calling, is to be moved to compassion for those in our community and beyond, and to create ministries of healing and comfort. In a church like ours, with so many resources at hand, we have the ability and the privilege to serve a variety of different needs and to make a real difference in our community. But perhaps you notice that Jesus has given these apostles a very specific mission. Don't you go down a road leading to the Gentiles, he says. And don't even think about going to the Samaritans either. For right now, go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. What? That doesn't really sound like Jesus. Even Jesus encounters and heals the Gentiles and the Samaritans. Doesn't he want us to spread the gospel as far and wide as possible? It almost seems like he is telling the disciples to focus their efforts. The time is perhaps not yet right to make disciples of every nation. I used to pick strawberries in the early summers with my parents, even though I didn't really like them. Too many seeds, I felt. And I think that my dislike did not make me a very good picker. You see, I would get a little too greedy and a little too optimistic, and I worried, too, that if I didn't pick it, nobody else would, and it would rot and go to waste. So if one strawberry was a beautiful ruby red, glistening in the hot sun, and then I turned it around and saw a little bit, or maybe sometimes a lot of bit, of green, I'd still pick it, hoping that the ripeness that had initially attracted me to the fruit would be enough. But strawberries are non-climacteric, meaning unlike tomatoes, they don't continue to ripen off the vine. So discernment is important. Knowing what is ours to do, knowing which strawberry to pick is important. Summertime around here gives us the chance to reflect on what we've been doing and make adjustments for the program year ahead. But because we're always in motion, sometimes we still don't have time or the creative bandwidth to discern a clear path forward. In some ways, the renovation of the sanctuary and the limitations of space on our campus has forced us to slow down even further and really think about important aspects of our ministry and how we can best support one another as co-laborers. White Memorial has certainly got the urgency part of Christ's harvest imagery down pat. However, the discernment of what is important is an equal part of Christ's message. In this mini commission, Jesus sends these 12 disciples only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. At this point in the mission, care and compassion and sharing the good news of the gospel begins at home. Now, that doesn't mean that our neighbors outside the community aren't important, only that we must look within before we look without. The monastics and the contemplatives and the mystics understood this. Perhaps we might also understand from this that clarity of purpose and vision and mission and goals are important and defining features of our ministry. Simplicity is another aspect of Jesus' commission to his disciples. Further, in chapter 10, Jesus gives instructions that these apostles are to travel light, receiving whatever hospitality is given to them, and not concerning themselves too much with those who don't receive them, shaking the dust off their sandals and moving on. As a big church with lots of resources, maybe we hear that we don't need much to make a big impact, or perhaps that rather than a buffet style of ministry, a few well-chosen and well-cooked meals can still make a big impact. Now, please don't hear that I am suggesting cuts to our programming or ministry areas. I wouldn't even know where to start, but I am simply naming a desire and a need to be prayerful and discerning, as well as flexible and nimble to be the church in a changing world. Because the church in America, and indeed in the entire world, is changing. We've heard from our ministry partners in Poland and in other places that turbo secularization is happening in real time. A couple of years ago, we heard from Ted Smith about the decline of the Voluntary Association. In many ways, White Memorial bucks the national trends of church attendance and membership. But the church is changing in many places, and Christ's message is not meant to be static. From time to time, we will have to reevaluate what is needed. So as we enter this season that I am unilaterally naming active recovery, we know that some are already being sent out. Our ASP teams, for example, are leaving us today to be ambassadors of hope and good news to those in need. As with Jesus, so too may you be moved by compassion in these experiences. These trips offer very clear opportunities for our God-given gifts to shine through. One person's skill with a hammer or a saw is another person's expertise in connecting with the families whose homes you're working on. So my encouragement for all of us is to practice the art of discernment this summer and on into the fall. What is yours to do today? What is the focus of the ministry areas that you are a part of? The harvest is ready. Which strawberries are you going to pick? And which are you going to leave on the vine? Where will you find actual rest and not just active recovery this season? In a fast-paced world, we remember that the work of the church is urgent. Too many of our neighbors are in crisis or in need. But the church is also what we do while we wait for Christ to come again. It is the steady drumbeat that patterns our lives and our faith, and the work of the church goes on. So welcome to active recovery, my friends. Amen. Galatians chapter 6, verses 9 through 10, it says it best. So let us not grow weary in doing what is right, for we will reap at harvest time if we do not give up. So then, whenever we have an opportunity, let us work for the good of all, and especially for those of the family of faith. Good friends, go out into the world in peace. Have courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Return to no person evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help those who are suffering. honor all people, love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you now and always. Amen.